we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time. It's truly my pleasure to do it each time we get together like this and share some of what's going on in the world and just try to put it in some sort of perspective, even if it's just my perspective and you get to listen to it. That's all right. I do appreciate you taking the time because I know that time is that one thing that we all have, but we don't know how much we have of it. It's an extremely valuable asset. So thanks for bringing me along into your time zone. We've got plenty to talk about today, and I will get right into it in just a second. But wherever you're finding me at today, click that like button. Just take that moment to tap it, smash it, give it an elbow drop, whatever it takes to get that thing to respond. Let me know that you're out there, that you appreciate this. And you can subscribe and follow along on any of those places like Facebook and X and Instagram, even YouTube. I'm there, and all of them are at Toward Anarchy, wherever it is. It's at Toward Anarchy, or it's probably not me. You can visit towardanarchy.com. That is definitely me. And you can follow along with every episode there. You can listen to all the past episodes and check out the pages and the links to the guests, the quotes, the images, the memes. It's all up there, towardanarchy.com. Check that out when you get a chance. And so this all occurred. We had, you know, the middle of the year come by, and every so often, like every year, about the middle of the year, the legislature goes crazy and passes thousands of laws all over the nation, all the various legislatures from all the different states passing tons and tons of laws, new bills into laws, and bills could have been hanging around for a long time, introduced different ways. You'd have some Senate bills, you'd have some House bills, you'd have some individual bills brought forth by individuals as opposed to committees. And all of this just happened. The bulk of them, they've gone through their sessions, and these bills have been turned into laws, and it's happened all over the nation, and it just happened on July 1 in most cases. There are various other things that happen throughout the year and differences in various legislatures from one place to another, but generally speaking, they are, you know, they've all gone through this process here just recently. And so everybody kind of knows what we're talking about in terms of what just happened and the significance of what's happened here over just the, it's been a little more than a week now, because I at the time I thought to talk about this, because you see it in the news, it's popping up. Oh, 126 new laws will become effective July 1 in Kansas, and to be very specific. And I was seeing that everywhere. But then, of course, July 1 is only a few days away from July 4 and the big 250th birthday and Independence Day and the Declaration of Independence, which I did a whole anarchist audit, I guess. That's what we'll do today. We're going to look at some of these laws that were passed, the ones here in Kansas in particular, and just talk about the general idea of them. But I got the idea, but then I had to do the 4th of July thing first because it was so much more of a passing thing. The laws will stick with us. They're all just starting to take effect, and some of them don't take effect necessarily right away. For instance, I guess there's no cell phones, no digital devices for students in the schools here in Kansas anymore. That's one of the bills that became a law, that they can't have any devices in the classrooms anymore. No more interruptions there. But, of course, they're not in school right now, so the fact that the law took effect on July 1st doesn't really mean anything. Nothing will happen with it until they go back to school in August when they go back. And so everybody knows what is going on. Everybody understands these laws are out there and that this is the time of year. And I figured we'd just take a big look at what's here in Kansas, because we already have this idea, right? We already understand, you and I have an understanding, that laws don't protect us, that at best they create a pretext for theft, and then, of course, for the exercise of force, the monopoly on force that the state has. They have to exercise it, or what good is it, right? What good is it to have strength, power, money, wealth, and the ability to do things if you don't do anything with them, right? So laws don't protect us. We understand this. We've done the audit of it, so of course we understand it. But they pass them anyway, and they make us subject to them, quite literally. We are subjects of these laws and of these people who make these laws, because we really don't have any say in them. I wasn't asked about any of these bills that became law. None of my input was required at all. They did it all with, and when I say my, I mean any of us out here. It was them. They did it. They passed these laws. They supposedly, these small number of people in the House and the Senate here in Kansas, represent all of the rest of us, and these hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of bills that they can come up with over a year or 2 years or however long it takes them to take one from a bill to a law, depending on what it is. And sometimes officially as bills, an actual bill carrying over from a previous year. And that's part of the information that I sort of pulled together when I was looking at what of these laws were passing and if any of them were of any use. And so there were 629 bills introduced in 2026 here in the Kansas legislature, 237 in the Senate, 392 in the House. An additional 557 were carried over from last year, from 2025. That's what I was talking about, how some of the actual bills, they're already in the process kind of thing, not just sort of still in committee or what have you, the various stages, depending on what happens in your state and in your legislature, because they all vary a little bit. You know, the same basic function and process, but there's different variances about time and place, and there's all sorts of things that vary from one to another. That's why it's never as cut and dry as you and I, the people who supposedly voted for these people, chose the laws to have these things forced upon us in a very, very obtuse, roundabout, not direct way at all. Do any of you or I, that's one of me, they didn't ask my input, they didn't ask any of our input on these things. So they had 1,186 live bills for the 2026 session. 157 of the bills became law. This is directly from the legislature here. This is a group that watches the legislature here in Kansas, but it's overseen by other politicians, so who knows what, but these are their numbers. This is their report. Out of their report, 157 bills became laws, 120 or so of those on July 1st. And so there's some very, like 126 or something like that. And then there's some, you know, some 31 others in there that somewhere, someplace, sometime during the year, I don't know. I didn't go into it in that particular document. And when I was looking for the stuff about the bills, I wasn't thinking thinking about the ones that I didn't see. You know, I wasn't looking for the ones I didn't see. I was looking at the ones I could see and going through and finding the ones that, you know, the ones that were most talked about in the news, the things that people were most interested in, most concerned about, particularly things like the cell phone, the devices in the classrooms here in Kansas. More than 90% of those bills were committee bills, and so they were introduced by multiple peoples and not just one individual person chasing constituency. So I guess that's better. Sure, why not? Governor Laura Kelly, she vetoed 34 of the bills and 30 appropriation line items. So there's appropriation bill or bills and 30 of the line items on that she vetoed, but only 14 and 19 respectively, 14 of the 34 bills, 19 of the 30 appropriations were sustained and were actually, you know, she had impact on them. And the rest of them were passed through by the committees by overriding her veto. And so that's the breakdown of, I mean, it's a crazy number. 157 bills became law, and at least 126 of those. It's a number that I've seen 124, I've seen 126, I think I saw 127 somewhere, because that wasn't, again, they just went with the 157. I was trying to find specifically just the ones, and only in just a short amount of time. It just wasn't that important, but just letting you know that there is a difference in there and there's a separation, and if it's in case, if some people are really picky about the numbers and looking at me, you've got a gap somewhere in your numbers. No, the gap is my own created gap. There's not a gap in their numbers. There's a gap in my numbers because it doesn't matter. It's not important. It's a very large number, and it's whittled down from an even larger number. It's about 10%, basically. There were about 1,200 live bills going into 2026, and about 120 of them were made into laws on July 1st. And those are what I'm talking about. That's 10%. And so all that time they spent working, only a small percentage comes out of it, which is crazy. Can you imagine if that, all that other stuff that was, you know, can you imagine 1,200? I don't even know. I guess I could look really quick just because we're sitting here and we don't have anything better to do with our time. Let's see how many, let's do something like California. How many bills became laws in California on July 1, 2026. See what it says. Nearly 800 new California laws. That's what the AI is saying. Let's see if I can get something from the legislature. 8 new California laws. I'm sure it was more than that. They're only talking about handfuls of 917 bills were passed by both houses in the California legislation. That's from the UCSD Guardian. So, you know, quite a few more. It's a lot more than even here. So you can imagine the sheer audacity of trying to suggest that this small number of people can make the rest of us responsible for knowing and understanding and not violating hundreds, thousands all over the nation of different laws and different rules and different ways for them, again, pretexts for them to steal from us and to use excessive force on us. That's crazy. That's such a crazy amount. Let's see. Let's look at some of them. And because they're all kind of funny in their own right. They all are. Again, just simply useless, but that's just me, you know, in my statement, that's not looking at details. Maybe there's something in the details, right? If we look at the details, maybe there's something that I'm missing, something that makes a law, a particular law, so much more useful than another one. No, I'm kidding you. That's never going to happen. Laws are just pieces of paper. They're just opinions, and they're just used. I don't know if I should repeat it. They're used as a pretext for theft and the use and exercise of force. That's what they're used for. So, okay, so they passed a whole bunch of these laws here, lots of them, on July 1st, and we're just barely into the middle of July here. So it's just real fresh, and again, some of them haven't even taken effect yet in that sense. So we'll look at them here. We'll start with Senate Bill number 82, and this thing is a tax credit for businesses who incur child care costs. And that in and of itself, just on the face, is a little bit odd. How is it that the business is incurring child care costs? What children are they caring for? Aren't the parents caring for, and isn't that child care cost their cost? That's what I don't like it. No, I get what it is. I'm not sitting here pretending that I don't understand why a business would incur child care costs, but I don't get how we allow things like that to happen, how we allow businesses to use us as their tax breaks, or using the law through the business to force us to do something, to follow a particular line of usage of the system. In this case, businesses getting tax credits, money from us, or credits toward what they would have to otherwise pay out from us, it's our money, and yeah, they're part of it too, so it's their money too, but they're the one getting the credit, and they're getting it, why? Because they're incurring child care costs. Well, okay, it happens, I get that, but it's a pork bill thing. It just shouldn't be. It shouldn't be anyway. We shouldn't be, our businesses shouldn't be responsible for child care. And it's a little weird, I think, to bring your children to work, to the work environment, and then put them in a classroom or something and have them watched while you're there at work. I think that's weird anywhere necessarily, but we're talking about young children. We're not talking about going in and the child actually learning something, going in to be sort of educated in the public education system. This is just some sort of random, well, I have to work and they provide health care to watch the children for me. I see so many problems with that, and I just don't know why it has to be a part of a bill. Why it has to be part of any of it, really. The whole thing, it was the first one that popped out to me, because it's just the whole thing, the whole idea of it is just a little odd, and I can't get my mind around it, why we do it, why we allow it to happen as people, why we do that to ourselves. And let me clarify, because this is sounding a little confusing to you, I get that, because what I'm getting at is that it doesn't have to be done. It's not necessary. It doesn't have to be part of a pork bill. It doesn't have to be a part of a business's bottom line tax information and its filings with the state. There's no particular reason why it should be, because we don't have to leave our families. It just doesn't have to happen. Now, almost every situation that I could think of when I was thinking about this was sort of single mothers. And that's more of a problem. It's at the back of my mind, and it's now working its way forward, is encouraging that the sort of thing that puts us in a position where we need to have child care at our business, at our place of work. And that's single parent families and homes that aren't stable, and that there's only one income and there's nobody there helping somebody take care of a child. And I think that anything that makes that easier for people to do is a bad idea. And if you look at the history of government and business together in relation to keeping the home together and keeping families together. The government is very quick to say, that's right. You don't need a partner to raise a child. Screw them. You can just go do it on your own, and we'll give you all of this support to do it. Do you see where I'm going with this? We'll give you this support. Well, that's the state taking over families. That's the state using our already problematic relations as individuals against us to create an atmosphere where they're in control. They control us. They give us the money. They provide the daycare. They provide the jobs. They, you know, the more things like that they're allowed to do, the further away from being a family units, happy family units again, solid foundational family units that aren't scattered and broken. And this is not me looking at some past or something that existed in America. This is simple common sense. Having stable multi-parent homes, and I'm not even putting any caveats on who those parents should be or anything about them. I'm just saying multi-parent, two parents, whatever, taking care of children so that one person is always there for the children. And I can say this from my own existence, in my own personal life. And what we've chosen to do, my wife and our family, and the results of it. I can show you the results of it. I have highly intelligent, highly motivated children who are happy and adjusted, as you know, relative to anything, I suppose, and have made it through the tumultuous times of the sort of Gen Z and what are the others? Millennials, and through these tumultuous years, the past 20 or so years that have changed so many other families and have turned so many other people against themselves and against their nature and against their own common sense and against their own understanding of the world. So it took me a little bit to get that out there and to figure that out, but it's a problem. It's problematic, and it shouldn't be something that we're allowing our politicians and our businesses to do to us. It's something that is detrimental to families and to solid structural foundations for children to grow up in, to become well-rounded individuals who can deal with other people and work beside other people and understand what it's like to know that there is a foundation of trust and love and respect in the world that can be found if you seek it out, that it's not all just everybody for themselves. It's not just a huge mess that they're getting into, that their world is theirs to make what they make of it, even in spite of all the things that I rail against, the government controls and the manipulations, even through all of that, they can make it. That's what my existence is about. Let's see what else. There's also some tax credits. This is still just 82. Also some tax credits for people who purchase lock and gun and ammunition storage, as well as for sellers of high ethanol content fuels. And this is all, these are all problematic. I don't want people locking up their guns and ammunition. Again, a gun owner and somebody who's raised three children around guns that never had locks on them, were always loaded. The children always knew where they were. They always knew that they wouldn't dare touch them. And I've never once touched one of my children. Never had to. So you figure it out. It's about stability. It's about love. It's about respect. It's about rules. And all of those things can happen when you have a partnership and the parents, the adults, the people in control are actually the ones in control. So lots of problematic things in there across the board in what government passes for laws and what they call laws, not necessarily about protecting people and property. A lot of what they call laws, the things that these bills are just about wealth transfer. It's just about moving money from one place to another, well, into their pockets. I mean, that's it. That's the theft part of the pretext for theft that laws create. It's when you don't put up with the theft, when you're not agreeing with it, when you don't show up to their carnival courts, these circuses that they call courts, they'll use the force on you. That's how that works. Let's see, House bill, Senate bill, it's a sub replacement bill thing. 366 is one of these hilarious things because this is the one that is the about using cell phones in school. It makes them illegal. And cell phone use in school is now illegal in all the schools. And this is, I don't know, there's 14 or 15 states now, maybe more, that have passed laws like this on the state level. It's not a community level thing. It's not in the school where it should be. I guess all of these are going to break down to this because this is where it's really important and where it really matters. And there's no evidence to suggest that in particular there is a problem, overall problem, with the cell phones and the being connected. There are certain people, there are certain types of people, and there are certain places and neighborhoods and certain schools where there's more of a problem. But again, this is all about maybe some homes and some respect and showing people that it was Ari Spears, you know, the comedian, the other day he made some post blaming the broken families and homes and single children, particularly black children. If you know Ari Spears, he's a black man. Blaming these bad children, these children that don't have respect for adults, and blaming it on the lack of authority. And by that, I mean, he says we used to hit our children and we didn't have these problems. Well, one, that's demonstrably false. You hit your children and we still had these problems. You kept hitting your children and the problems kept getting worse. But we're talking about black families here. Seriously, Ari Spears, you're not, I don't think, a dumb person. You're a funny guy. You can tie some things together and make some great jokes. I don't think you're a dumb person at all. So I don't think you seriously believe that beating defenseless children, hitting them, harming them, is what makes good people. You're doing the same thing that the police do to us on the streets, to the black community, that other black people do to each other, and that's force other people to do things their way, and if they don't like it, they kill them or beat them to death. Are you serious? You think that's working, and you don't think that the broken families are the problem? You don't think that it's the lack of a father in the home, and it's these snotty, horrible women that think that they don't need a man, that they can do it without a man, and then they raise a thug? And then I don't care about the color of their skin, because it happens in the white families too. I witnessed it my entire life. I was the one who didn't out of that. I was the exception to this particular rule, but not because of any abuse or force. There were other people that supplemented. There was a family. There was, you know, just because there wasn't a father around didn't mean that I didn't have somebody to watch me and somebody to answer to if I did something wrong or if I didn't meet expectations. And nobody was hitting me for it. A couple of times I know that my mother had hit me, but I'm so young and not really knowing. But it's not, all that did was make me not like my mother. It didn't make me not get in trouble. It didn't make me not be who I was going to be and me go do the things that I went and did. Those things I went out and I did those things and I was who I was. And I realized on my own, without the help of somebody else that could have been a buffer or could have caused that to be a different outcome that could have been prevented. Somebody that decided, well, you raise children differently. I never touched any of my children. More than a swat on the backside, you know, get out of the way. I told you to move, that sort of thing. Aside from that, never, no, that's not the way I raised my family. I never had to yell at my child in the Walmart, any of them in the Walmart. I never had to deal with a child that was throwing a fit, and I never had to tell them not to do it. And it was understood that everybody knew we don't behave that way. That's not how you see somebody behaving that way. We don't behave that way. I don't have to tell you we don't behave that way. You know I don't behave that way. You know we don't do that. This is turning into what it should be is the state, the bare appearance that the state is taking away the power of the individual and is caging the individual in so many different directions with all of these laws, these useless pieces of paper. They do more harm than good is what I'm getting at. There's nothing to prove that the cell phone use is any particular worse, is any particular cause of the reason why students aren't able to learn in school. It's just not it. It's one thing on a long list of problems. And the fact is that the schools are full of the technology and have been for a long time. And they use the technology successfully themselves to educate themselves, to learn the things that they're supposed to learn in class. Many of their books and activities are done through a tablet. They're issued a tablet. In fact, my son didn't even have to give his back this year. He keeps it. And he's expected to show back up with it at school next year. And that's something that they hadn't even done before. So this idea that you have to get the technology out of the schools is wrong. There's something else going on here. Some of it is they don't want the cameras. They don't want the teachers being exposed. They don't want the ignorance and stupidity of the teachers, the conflicts that happen between. They don't want the YouTube videos of the kids fighting. They don't want to see the resource officer beating the crap out of some handcuffed kid. They don't want that stuff, but that's what that's about. It's not about their inability to learn. It's about keeping keeping things quiet and keeping things inside their school because otherwise, why are they using technology in the first place to learn from? It's a lie, and it's not that big of an interruption. Obviously, you can see the videos. You see a video of some jerk-offs in a classroom that are ignoring a teacher, but you don't think that stems from another problem. You don't think that that's another issue, that you don't think that that's a missing parent telling a child that you better not have your. I don't have to tell my children. I tell my children that I back their play and I'll back every time until they're wrong. And if the school says you don't have your phone out in the middle of class and you take your phone out in the middle of class and they take your phone away, guess what? You're phoneless. That's the way it'll be. And guess what? I never had and still don't have to this day children with a problem with a phone in class, but they have their phones and they've all had them. All of them, even the oldest one has had a phone through most of her schooling. Well, not most of it, but certainly by the time it's reasonable to suggest that I don't even know what that means, because so many people don't think that they should have it. My son taught himself how to read using a computer. I didn't teach my son how to read. Nobody taught my son how to read. He sat down at a computer and was able to read because he could look and point and follow and do the little programs and school. He taught himself how to read. And that's not, I'm not, it's not. Anything but a factual statement. It just is a very factual statement. We did not actively teach my son, and he's genius level. So stop blaming it on the small number of things that are a problem, because it's just overlooking all the bigger problems, and obviously it starts in the home, but every law, everything is trying to take away the power of people, especially parents. The more they can control the children, the more the system can control the children outside of the parents. Oh, man, they love that. It's all these, oh, yeah, of course you have rights as a child to decide who you want to be at the age of 14. Uh-huh. Yeah, that seems like a good idea. Let's see, SB 382, homeschool kids can now participate in high school association activities, should be a community thing. Well, I made a little note right there, should be a community thing, which is what I've been saying all along, that this is, it's too big of a level, it's too much. These guys shouldn't be doing this up there in their hallowed halls and surrounded by all the opulence. This isn't what they should be doing. This isn't where we should be making our decisions. And I can prove it. We're here. Democracy is a great thing. It got us here. Everything you hate about America, our democracy, our government, whichever facet of it is, whichever side of it you're on, everything you hate about it was allowed for or created by this system that you keep throwing your energy into. I don't know how to put that any differently to get you to understand that it's your fault. And it's your fault that it'll continue. And it'll only continue as long as you continue to participate. So you have no one to blame but yourself. Truly. SB 403 makes license plate frame. Oh, yeah, makes my license plate frame a criminal. This was the one that got me started on it because I saw it pop up in the social media. And, of course, people are talking about it locally. And the headline was something to the effect of being criminal and illegal and your license plate. And I just thought of all these things. My first thought is, you know, I worry about the criminality of my license plate when it starts robbing, caging, and murdering people over political and social opinions. My illegal criminal license plate. What they did is they did a couple of things here recently. They passed a blackout plate law. So you have a blackout plate. It's all black, but the lettering is white. So it's really, really easy to read by a camera, by Flock cameras, which they've been installed around here for some time. I don't know specifically Flock, but the Shawnee County, the county that I live in, has a complete tracking grid, and they have a little war room. They have some pervert that sits at a station of computers and monitors and sits there and watches everybody do what they do going throughout the town. They brag about how great it is. They've never solved a single crime with it. People go missing for a year and they still can't find somebody, even though they have cameras everywhere. They're going to protect us. They're going to solve all the mysteries and solve all the crime in the world by tracking you and me, the people who aren't committing crimes. Yeah, it makes sense. Let's see, 430. Oh, this is one of these ones. It's just another obnoxious one. This SB, Senate Bill 430. These are all Kansas. Makes kratom illegal. And even the FDA hasn't even ruled on that one yet. But it's a bunch of hype. It's another one of these things. It's just another excuse for authoritarianism to dictate to us what we can and can't do with our bodies. It's revenue generation. It's interesting because they're blaming things other than kratom, because there's kratom and then there's like 7-0 and synthetic kratoms, the synthetic powders that mimic the kratom. And there's been some deaths in Florida. There's this lethal mixture at some point of the chemical synthetics. They did this with cannabis too. As soon as they started legalizing cannabis, and they had this fake synthetic garbage that It was not great. It was harming people. I don't remember the details of it. I don't remember if it was actually killing people or not. Maybe some deaths attributed to it. But ultimately, it was obvious that once again, using the sort of fringe of something or something completely derivative of that's not the same thing to blame on the natural thing so that you can ban the natural thing, that you can get rid of the natural thing. And then, of course, the next step would be to, oh, well, this synthetic is okay, right? This one will be all right. This one's not – it doesn't have the same problems as the other one. That's where that leads for sure. Let's see. This is another one of these mixed Senate House bills or replacement bill or something like that. It's 2018. Geez, I wonder if it's been around that long because that's higher than the numbers of – far higher than the numbers that they were talking about. Remember when we were talking about the total that it was only 1,200, less than 1,200 just for this year. And so 2018, why is the bill number up that high? It's a weird thing. Let's see. It's a bunch of political BS, if I remember correctly, because it makes All right. So it's the thing about interfering with a religious service. It makes it a crime and then provides some penalties. There's some other things. There's a bunch of different criminal things. This was one of the ones that I guess I would have to go and look to see if it actually ended up passing or not, if it was one of the 14 that the government was actually maybe she just bowed out of it. She didn't sign it, and it wasn't a veto. Some of this happened after I made some of these notes that I'm using to remember which ones these things are and what was important about them. Obviously, fluid situation with all of these as they go on, but So I don't know if she didn't just veto it. She just stepped out of the way and let it happen. And so it just goes. She didn't sign it. It just becomes a law without her permission is basically what happened there. They just passed it without her. She didn't try to do anything to stop it because she did realize the obvious problem with it. And she said, I'm pretty sure this is a quote, "I am concerned that this legislation addresses this tension in a manner that prioritizes one of these rights over the other and will result in costly litigation." So she's only worried about tying up the court. She didn't even care about the clear discrepancy in here and how the discrepancy is actually solved. So again, this is the bill 2018, and it makes interfering with a religious service a crime. Okay, what we're talking about is protesters. What they're talking about is protesters protesting at a religious service or religious protesters protesting maybe somewhere. Whatever it is, we're talking about a reason why someone would interfere with a religious service in the first place. And so think back here a few months. When Don Lemon was chasing the ICE guy that either was a minister or had the same name as a minister, and they busted into the church and they brought all these protesters into the church and they interrupted the services. Look, it's real simple. It's private property. You don't need a bill in either respect to tell somebody to stay off of private property. They have the right to stand outside that church and protest that church if they want to. There's nothing that should stop them from doing that. If you find something offensive, as long as you don't impede them directly, standing in front of their business, keeping it so their customers can't get in, scaring their customers away, what have you, then the protest, it's in and of itself, is not a threat to somebody. It's informational, it's factual, presumably, or it wouldn't be, you just sue somebody. You would just, if that's not a fact. I can prove it's not a fact. You're a liar, and I'm going to sue you in civil court, and I'm going to sue you for a whole lot of money, even if I never get it. I'm going to prove my point, and that's what a lot of that could be. This conflict doesn't exist. It's called private property. You're not invited onto the private property. If you are protesting, you can protest outside, but you're not invited in. You can't come in here and disrupt my business. You can't come in here and disrupt my anything. My service, whatever it happens to be, you can't do it because you're not welcome here. And just because it's a public space where the public is generally invited, it's a private space where the public is invited in, that's basically a public space, doesn't mean that you still can't exclude people. And it's stupid laws like this that get in the way of being able to voluntarily associate with people and still have your rights and your property protected. And she was right not to sign it. I doubt she did it for the right reasons, but she was right not to sign it. That's that. I have no doubt about that. House Bill 2158, beekeepers can sell packaged goods without licensing, taxation, theft. You can just see where my thoughts were going at the time, because licensing is taxation, it is theft, it is turning something that shouldn't be necessarily government's business at all into something that's government's business. And in this case, this rarely happens. This is so rare that some law that's passed actually takes power away from government or keeps it from seeking power in a certain direction. It's a very interesting thing. Now, they don't, but beekeepers can, and Kansas is, cottage laws? Is that what that is? That's where you can make foods that don't require refrigeration, I guess, is the main thing. If it doesn't require refrigeration, then you can basically sell it without a license. So you could make candy, I guess, or something like that, and put it in your own packaging and you could sell it because it, you know, like a lollipop or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something that ultimately doesn't require refrigeration, which a lot of things, a lot of foods don't require refrigeration. So it's already a cottage industry. So I don't know why bees and the goods made out of their bee juices, why these wouldn't already been protected in this. So even when they're doing good, it seems to me like they missed a point somewhere along the way. They did something that didn't quite add up, and they had to come through and make this clear that they should have already been able to do this. That they, you know, the licensing, and the theft that comes with licensing of things like businesses, hairdo, you know, you got to go to dental school or whatever it is, all of these different things and to get a license. Now, it's different if you're licensed within a community, within that community. So you get licensed by barbers from within the barbershop community, right? Seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to do. I think most people, generally speaking, your work should just speak for your results, and it shouldn't be any of the government's business. And this is about them pretending to protect you. It's them holding a monopoly on force and holding a monopoly on the rules of things instead of people having to worry for themselves about whether or not they are going to be taken advantage of by bad actors in any business, whether it's plumbing or hair or whatever, it's something that people end up having to be licensed for, but can easily be licensed within their community or not. It should be voluntary, that their work speaks for itself. And then if their work isn't up to par, that's what civil courts are for. And you know, you can't protect people from their stupidity. And we end up in this situation where we have one day a year where thousands of laws all across the nation suddenly are forced upon the rest of us, you know, relatively. It's a very crazy thing when you stop and think of it. Nobody just stops and thinks about what just happened back on July 1st. Well, to hear about the couple of laws, the couple of bills, whatever, that happened to make the news. And that's what got me started on this. I had to go dig up some of this other stuff. There was only a couple of these things that they were really talking about. Obviously, the cell phone thing was one of them. The Kratom thing. And that was about it. It really was. The rest of it was... You had to go look for it. You had to know what was going on. You had to know what they were doing and what they were going to pass. And let's see, where is the SP-366? What is this one? 2299, banned students from using their cell or any personal devices during school hours. Oh, well, that must have been, that's one of those things where what happens is one part of the Congress will pass a bill, write it in, and then the other one gets to take a look at it, and they don't like it, and they'll rewrite it or something. And so it's some combination thing, and I ended up duplicating. I didn't even realize that I did that. That's funny, because that's the, that's that same thing about the students and the devices being used during the school hours, and just the loss of common sense, and that it dates it to, that it. Tracks back to the fact that we have social problems in our homes, and that government is put itself in between us and our social problems and making it harder and harder for us to solve them, because it's giving people, lazy people, stupid people, poor people, poor in a sense, not money-wise, but poor in judgment and action. And they just a little bit slow. There's other words I could use, but I don't want to get banned from the YouTube just for one use of one word. But you get what I mean. There are people that aren't as smart and can't handle the things, and they just don't – aren't you're having to save them. Somebody's having to save them from themselves. Who was it? I want to say it was a Ripaverse guy, but I could be wrong. Maj? I'm not sure who it was. It said something about it was a funny thing, because it's coming from a sort of libertarian, anarchist point of view, person with that sort of point of view, but they're also still conservative statist. They just have good, lofty libertarian views. And it talks about how So if you're not willing to deal with, or you're not capable of dealing with your problems, this is not a quote, but this is the gist of it. If you're not dealing with your problems, then somebody else will. And that's funny to me, because what are you saying in that? What exactly do you mean? Somebody else will. They're my problems. Why is it anybody else's business what my problem is? And what he's talking about is something like this, is talking about people in situations that aren't good enough, aren't smart enough, aren't fast enough, whatever the excuse is, to use government force, to use government dictate, to pass laws, to use as an excuse to vote and to put people into office and pretend like they're better than the rest of us. Do you not understand? You know what the Dunning-Kruger effect thing is, right? It's probably something that people have pointed at me and said over the years that I'm a victim of. And it was absolutely not true, because I'm the same guy that even before I use a word and I type it out, I go back and I look and I go, am I using this word right? Before I will put that word into just a simple text in a tweet, I'll go and I'll look. They're not even tweets anymore, are they? They're X's. I don't know what they are, X's and O's. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about when everybody is saying that your problem is somebody else's problem? Just what standard do I have to live up to make you happy? Are you ever going to be happy with what other people do? Especially when there are so many other people? No, probably not. So what's the answer to that? Go around dictating what it is that other people do? Well, that's the answer that some of you come up with. And this is what we get. This is what we get. We have a day, one day a year, where thousands of laws just suddenly became a thing that all of us have to worry about if we happen to cross some imaginary friggin' line into somebody else's space, not even clearly marked private property, just one of these imaginary state lines that oh, well, now you're magically in a place that isn't like the place you were just over there literally a step ago. I showed a really good example of this because downtown Topeka has one of these open carry laws, and there's a zone that you can be in, and it's okay to open carry liquor and alcohol. So you can walk around drinking a beer in downtown Topeka as long as you don't cross a certain line or a certain street. Once you cross a certain line or a certain street, you're out of this special area, and now you're a criminal. Now, on one side of the law, you're magically doing nothing wrong. On the other side of that, on one side of the line, you're magically not doing anything wrong. You've broken no laws, but then you suddenly step over this imaginary line, or in this case, it's a real line that they paint on the ground. And so you can see it as you're walking down the sidewalk. Legal on this side, illegal on that side. And it says that right there on the ground. That's amazing. What happens if I straddle the line? Is it okay if I keep the beer in one hand and not in the other? I'm still legal, even though I'm technically... I knocked something off my desk. I'm gesticulating here he goes. There's my beer over on this side and not on this side. And what happens if I switch my hands? Now am I going to jail? Am I getting a ticket? Am I going to get beat down by cops? That's a crazy notion to suggest that just arbitrarily, and it's arbitrary. I know, yes, they say it's not arbitrary because they created a boundary, but it's still arbitrary because it's just downtown Topeka. It's literally just one piece of concrete on the sidewalk that has a painting on it and a line on it, and on one side of that exact same piece of concrete, something is legal and something is illegal. That's just asinine. That's just stupid. And that's just our government. So what I started to say there was that, don't you realize with the Dunning-Kruger effect that politicians are the epitome of it? They're the definition of the Dunning-Kruger effect. They're people that have a little bit of information and a little bit of power who think that they know everything and can solve everything with that little bit of information and that little bit of power. They think they have all the answers. They think they're the ones. And you fools keep voting for them. You keep putting them in office. Was there one more of these? House Bill 2347 transfers wealth from working whores to lazy socialist thieving whores. Well, that's what all laws do when you violate them. Called politicians and their pet C student enforcers by raising the fine for... Here, let me do it again. House Bill 2347 transfers wealth from working whores to lazy socialist thieving whores, called politicians and their pet C student enforcers, by raising the fine for solicitation, including new crimes and penalties for human trafficking, committing fraud with gift cards. This was one of the other, I was talking about a bunch of different things that were spelled out that were actually criminal and violations, but already are accounted for. None of this is new. None of this is new. It's already illegal to kidnap somebody. It's already illegal to cross lines, state lines with them. It's already illegal to violate somebody. There's no call for this. New crimes, new penalties. How about prosecuting the people that do it, or better yet, empowering individuals to defend themselves from people so that people don't go around doing it? What else does it do? Let's see. Committing fraud with gift cards. So, yeah, obviously old people can't care for themselves, don't have family to take care of them. The state has to do it for them. They're the ones getting taken advantage of by phone calls. You take and put some money on a card and mail this card to me, and it's a fraud thing. The stores already watch out for it. They already question. They already know. It's been a thing for a long time. So now you have to make another. It's already theft. It's already a law that's been broken. It's already redundant, and I would be redundantly repeating myself over and over again if I said that laws don't do anything for us. They don't protect us. They create a pretext for theft and the use of excessive force. And I gotta go. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Toward Anarchy. Stick around on the network. There's another hour coming up.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy.